In New York's busy streets, certain intersections seem inherently dangerous. As part of WNYC's Mean Streets series, reporter Jim O'Grady visited one such intersection with parents of 23-year-old Ella Bandies. They ask if better street design could have saved their daughter's life.
The intersection is in Ridgewood, Queens, where Myrtle Avenue, Wyckoff Avenue, and Palmetto Street converge in the gloom beneath the elevated M-train tracks. That's 25 lanes of traffic from six directions. That's buses, cars, and cabs all bulling their way through the same vaguely marked patch of asphalt. At night, add commuters streaming down from the M and up from the L train. I'm with Judy Kotick and her husband, Ken Bandies. They live in New Jersey, but they have a special interest in the safety of this place. We're with Mike King, an expert in street design. The four of us take time to just stand there and watch the intersection in action. Mike King narrates.
These are people that got out of the train. She's got a stroller. The little girl's on the little bicycle. She's got another friend who's helping push the bicycle. They've got another daughter. So there's seven, and they're crossing the most direct route from the subway. The
driver missed them by an inch.
Yeah, and here comes.
It's not easy for Kotick and Bandies to watch a bus nearly hit a pedestrian at Myrtle Wyckoff.
Really hard to be here.
Because that's how their daughter, Ella Bandies, died. And this is where she died. Kotick remembers getting a phone call at home on the night of January 31st, 2013.
The worst nightmare that you can't imagine will ever happen to you. The police in this precinct saying your daughter's been in a terrible accident. Come to the hospital immediately.
Kotick says it's hard to accept the fact of the crash when she thinks about how Ella's adult life was just beginning.
She was a dancer, a musician, an artist. She was applying to grad school for a PhD in clinical psychology. She was working in a psychology lab. She was a beautiful person.
Ella's internship was in Upper Manhattan, an hour and 15 minutes by subway from Ridgewood, but only 30 minutes by car from Montclair, New Jersey, where Ella grew up and her parents still live. Judy Kotick says she told her daughter, "Live home, it's closer." But Ella moved to the city with hopes of becoming a psychotherapist like her mother. Kotick says that on the night Ella died, she stayed late at her internship. On her way home, Ella stopped off in the East Village to visit friends, then hopped on the L train. Ken Bandies can describe what happened next because he's read the police report, as difficult as that was. He says that as Ella exited the Myrtle Wyckoff stop in Ridgewood, she turned and moved toward the curb to cross Myrtle Avenue. It was dark and maybe a train clattered overhead, making it hard to hear an approaching vehicle, even a bus.
She would have been crossing, and we know actually that she was not on the phone or texting there because we have her phone. We think that she was probably aware, but presumably didn't expect the bus not to stop.
The police report says an MTA bus was turning onto Myrtle Avenue as Ella stepped into the street. The driver, 35-year-old Andrel Culvert, had been on the job less than a year. Culvert later told police that as she made the turn, she checked her rearview mirror to make sure the bus didn't hit a cab parked near the subway. When Culvert looked forward, Ella was in front of her. Culvert hit the brakes too late. Judy Kotick says she has details about what came next, but only so many.
I know that she was under the bus and it took them a while to get her out and her heart stopped and they revived her, and it's so painful that there's a limit to how much I can really hear.
Ella was taken to Wyckoff Hospital but never regained consciousness. She died 4 days later. Her parents have since learned that the Myrtle Wyckoff intersection was known to be unsafe. In the 5 years before Ella Bandy's death, 29 crashes occurred there. Four of them caused serious injuries, and in 2009, a pedestrian died. With those numbers, Myrtle Wyckoff compares to the city's most dangerous intersections. The Bandies also learned that residents had agitated with the city for improvements, but got nowhere.
If they had been successful, then I think there's a good chance that Ella would be alive.
The Department of Transportation has added LED lights under the elevated track, and it has proposed to give the Myrtle Wyckoff intersection a safety makeover. The plan includes widening curbs with yellow paint and flexible posts, adding more crosswalks, and repainting existing crosswalks that are now so faded they're almost invisible. DOT plans like this one come out of the office of Ryan Russo, the Assistant Commissioner for Traffic Management.
I'm responsible for, among other things, our traffic safety programs.
Russo says, yes, dangerous intersections must be fixed, but that's only a start on the problem because crashes happen everywhere.
There are about, I think, roughly 1,800 pedestrian severe injuries a year, and you'll rarely find an intersection with more than 3 or 4 in an individual year.
Russo says if you could eliminate every crash and serious injury at the 52 most dangerous intersections, you'd reduce the citywide total by only 4%. So the department is lowering speed limits and upgrading intersections on extended stretches of city streets or corridors that range from 1 mile to 8 miles long.
We've done a significant amount of work on corridor street redesigns over the years, and we continue to do that work.
Mayor de Blasio's Vision Zero initiative will create 25 slow zones by the end of the year in corridors with high crash rates. And the DOT has a goal of reengineering 25 dangerous intersections per year. Back in Ridgewood, street designer Mike King says that it starts with simplifying the traffic flow and timing the lights to give pedestrians a head start crossing the street. It's all about lessening conflicts of movement between people and vehicles.
Why do you have to put people in these positions where they have to constantly be vigilant? We're watching buses turn here, and the buses are making these obtuse turns. They're honking at people who are crossing with the light in the crosswalk, saying, get out of the way because I've got to get through. And all right, the buses, the drivers, they want to get through. The people coming out of the subway, they want to get home.
Of course, that's what 23-year-old Ella Bandes wanted as she came out of the subway that January night and headed toward Myrtle Avenue. She wanted to get home. For WNYC, I'm Jim O'Grady.